This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? All right, that was good. Listen, that was better than the first experience. I had to give them a mulligan. They did a do-over. It was so bad. So we turned the lights off and everything. So you guys did a fantastic job. It's good. So we're continuing a series this week, like Shelley said, called Subscriptions. And just kind of to give you some context, like if you've missed any of it, I'll catch you up to speed and let you know what we've been talking about. Because here's where we're at. We like to do things. I like to do things that I can understand. Because let me back this thing all the way up. So when I first started going to church about 20 years ago, like, so my pastor, he would come in and he would preach a message, right? And then the next week he would preach an entirely unrelated message. Now that's awesome, but I'm a little dense. Like, and sometimes it takes me a few weeks to get what you're trying to say. And so we subscribe to series, right? That's kind of our subscription. We subscribe to these weeks long, kind of going over the same topic so that it has time to kind of soak in and something that we get a better opportunity to fully understand. So all of that being said, we're doing a series called Subscriptions. And so a subscription, as if we don't know what subscriptions are, so it all started probably, 50, 60, 70 years ago when print was a big thing. Now, we don't print a lot of stuff anymore, it seems like, where everything is digital now. So it used to be, I remember when I was a teenager, you could get a magazine subscription. They would run these little circulars, right? These little postcard things. You could do a subscription for a penny or something like that. But the hook was, after a year, then they expect you to pay full price. And I'm like, well, I'm 12. Good luck with that. So I got, like, Sports Illustrated. I don't remember some of the other ones, but anyway, so you had a subscription to a magazine. So in our digital world, you've got subscriptions to all kinds of stuff, right? You've got Netflix and Hulu and Disney Plus, YouTube TV, YouTube Premium, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Prime, on and on and on and on. And then we talked last week about all of the different subscription boxes that you can get, like makeup and clothing and food. And you can subscribe to these services or these products and you get this stuff delivered to you. So a subscription is something we're very familiar with, but a subscription is also, by definition, there's another alternate definition that I think is important, and it's this: to express or feel agreement with an idea or proposal. To express or feel agreement with an idea or proposal. And I think the way that we take that is there are beliefs, there are ideas, there are things that we subscribe to that then will determine the course and character and quality of our lives, right? So whatever it is that you believe, this belief that you subscribe to, it will ultimately determine the direction of your life. And so we kind of, the way that we summed that up was, you are subject to what you subscribe to. Whatever it is that you subscribe to, you will eventually be subject to that, for good or bad, right? That can be a good thing. If you're subscribed to the right things, then you're subject to good things, and good things come as a result of the things that you're subscribed to. But if you're subscribed to bad things, then you reap the benefits, or the other side of that. What is the opposite of benefits? Punishment. I don't know. So that's what we talked about the first week, is you are subject to what you subscribe to. The second week, we talked about how we should, I can't do the click. Is that better? The click. We should unsubscribe to shame. Because, again, like we talked about last week, I think there are a lot of people that walk around under this umbrella, this ominous cloud of shame, when we're not, I don't believe that we were ever intended to walk around in shame. And we talked about the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is good, right? Guilt leads to repentance. It's this godly sorrow that produces repentance. Shame, on the other hand, is this crippling, paralyzing, this thing that happens that keeps us from being the people that God has called us to be, keeps us from being fruitful and effective and helping other people. Shame is honestly selfish. Because you are so concerned about yourself and your feelings and your world and your emotions, and you couldn't ever imagine getting outside of that and helping somebody else, right? So that's why shame is, we need to unsubscribe. Better, making progress. Listen, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So this week, we're going to look at something else that kind of coincides with subscriptions, and it's this phenomenon or this thing called bundling. How many of you have you seen these opportunities, these offers where they want you to subscribe to not just one thing, but three things? And I'm like, I don't want three things. I just want the one thing that I wanted to subscribe to, and I don't want the other things that you want me to subscribe to. So, but they try to bundle and they try to give you things that, you know, they think you need, A, because you're a, you know, a good paying customer in good standing, or B, because they're greedy and they want to milk you for everything that you are worth. That's how I feel about it. So I watch entirely too much sports. It's my vice. It's my thing. In fact, like, I go to bed every single night without fail. I mean, unless we're traveling or, you know, whatever, in a world where this can't happen. So I put my TV. It's so funny because when Shelly and I first got married, she did not like a TV in the bedroom. So this was 20 years ago. So it was like a tube TV. Y'all know what that is? Some of y'all don't even know what a tube TV. TVs used to not be flat. They used to be big, bulky, heavy, like tubes. So I had a tube TV. And so every night I go to bed and I put my TV on sleep for 30 minutes. So I'm going to catch like 15 or 20 minutes of SportsCenter and I'm gone. That's it. And so I love sports. But you see all the time on ESPN this offer, this chance for you to subscribe to ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu Plus, right? When are we going to start? Listen, somebody needs to capitalize on this. Somebody needs to where is minus in all of this, right? I feel like minus is getting left out. So I'm going to motion minus. It's a new thing. Just kidding. Subscribe to our channel, motion minus. All right, maybe not. Doesn't really work. Motion plus. All right. Yeah, we're not going to do it. So you see these offers to subscribe to bundles. And so what I've noticed is, again, kind of trying to get you to get things. Here's the idea. I guess the premise or the takeaway is there are certain things that just seem to be bundled together, and when you subscribe to one, then you subscribe to the others that are connected to it. And it's something you actually kind of find in Scripture too. For example, John chapter 10, verse 10, it says this. Jesus said this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. There's our first bundle. That's intense, right? To steal and to kill and destroy, Jesus said, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So the first bundle is still kill and destroy. The next one is a little more optimistic. It is faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it says this, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So we're actually going to focus on, just to kind of give you an idea, those are some of the bundles that you find in Scripture. We're going to focus on another bundle from Jesus's, what I think is his most famous sermon. It's the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And probably if you knew nothing else, if you read nothing else, if you had no other words from Jesus to live by, if you had the Sermon on the Mount, it would be sufficient, right? There would be enough in there for us to work on for the rest of our days. And so one of the things that he said in Matthew chapter 6 specifically, he kind of goes through this bundle, these things that we should subscribe to. Because again, the goal is to subscribe to the things that he subscribed to. If he took the time to explain these things, to tell us not only about these things, but then and showed us how to do it and what it should look like, and then told us to do it, then maybe it's something that we should subscribe to. So our bundle for the day is give, pray, fast. Give, pray, fast. Let's start in Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. It says this, so when you give to the needy, somebody say when. Don't say if. Don't say if I feel like it or when I get around to it. Or this is what church people, y'all are the worst. We are the worst. Church people would be like, well, if I feel led to do it. All right, here is your leading. When you give to the needy, do not announce. Have y'all ever met somebody that does that stuff? Like, when I feel led. Well, it's funny, you ain't ever felt led to do anything. So let me go find you a pencil that's got some lead in it, and I'm going to lead you to do something with your life. Get up off of it. Okay, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Do you guys want a modern translation? So when you give to the needy, you don't, believe it or not, have to blast it on social media. You don't have to post a picture on Instagram of what you done did to help somebody else out. Because if you do, then that's your reward. The likes that you get from your little post are the only reward that you're going to get. I would rather have the other reward that we're going to find about here. Let's look at 3 and 4. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, I think that's such a fascinating little phrase, and it doesn't mean that, I mean, like, I don't know about you. I am incapable of splitting the hemispheres of my brain and isolating them so that they don't know what the other side is doing. It's more comprehensive than that. But it's almost like, hey, just kind of as an extreme illustration, like pretend like you can't even tell what's going on over here based on, you know, where you're at. Does that make sense? You know what I'm talking about? So anyway, so when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So the first subscription in our bundle today is when you give, when I give, when we give. We are called to give. It doesn't matter if you feel led to give. Thank God Jesus didn't wait till he felt led to give, right? Like it's one of the we love to kind of like Christian burn people sometimes. Y'all ever do that? Y'all ever seen that? Like church burn? And so somebody's like, oh, I just don't feel led. I'm like, well, I'm glad Jesus didn't feel led to, you know, not go to the cross and die for your sins, right? So that's fun. So let's talk about giving for just a minute. So giving is the first, again, first subscription in the bundle. And in the New Testament, there are, to my understanding, if you're a New Testament scholar or theologian and there's more that we don't know about, keep it to yourself. Or we can have a conversation later. But I think there are three types of giving that you find in the New Testament. The first one is what we talk about regularly, and that would be tithing. So the tithe in the Old Testament literally means tenth, and it's the first fruits of your increase according to Proverbs chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3. So whatever we get, whatever we accumulate, whatever it is that we create by our hands and our work and our effort and all of that stuff, then we tithe, we give a 10% of that to God. That is not the giving that it's talking about in this particular passage. The second type of giving you find in the New Testament is called an offering, right? So there is a distinction. So what we do is we kind of conflate all giving into one category. But like, well, I threw, you know, $20 in the plate, so that was my tithing. Not necessarily. I threw $20 in a plate, so that was my offering. Not necessarily, right? There are, you can't call something that something is not and assume that something is something that you called it, right? Like, I could tell you all day long that this shirt is white, but this shirt ain't white. This shirt is black, I think. Let me make a double check. Right? So you can't just call something what you want to call it and assume because you called it that it's right, right? Call it what it is. And so when we tithe, it is our first 10%. It is a predetermined amount of our giving. Now, offering is on top of your tithe. So when we give an offering, what we're doing is we're tithing, and then on top of that, we're offering. So it's kind of this free will amount. Whatever it is that you felt led, there we go again, to give on top of your tithe, whatever you feel compelled to give beyond your tithe, that would be your offering. That's not what we're talking about today either. Somebody say, whew. Everybody gets nervous when you start talking about money, right? So the third type of giving is, so you've got tithes, you've got offering. The third type of giving is alms. So alms aren't really even necessarily about money at all. It is what we do to assist other people in their hardships. It's our way. In fact, the definition of the word, the Greek word is poieo, kind of like paella, right? Poieo. We watched a TV show one time, and the mom in the show was like, paella. And so Shelly and I do it all the time. It's weird. I'll stop. So, but the Greek word is poieo, and this is what the definition of giving is in this particular passage. It is to make, manufacture, construct, to do, act, or cause. I don't see much in there about fine. Now, look, if you want to give to people financially to help them in their hard times, their hardships, then absolutely do that. But I think it's so much more about service. I think it's so much more about being aware and attentive to the needs of people around us and then doing something about that with the ability that you have, make a difference in their life. With the recognition that you have of something hard or difficult going on in their life, do something about that. It is to make or do something for people in need. So when you give to the needy, when you make or do for those in need is another way of kind of breaking that down, right? And I think one of the reasons Jesus, like this is one of those things, like it should be so obvious to us that we should give, right? Seems obvious, but we've kind of increasingly, in my opinion, become less aware of the need for us to give, because in order to give, you have to be aware. In order to give, you have to know that there are needs that need to be met. In order to give, you have to kind of, again, have this be tuned in to some degree to what it is that's going on in the lives of people around you. And we have increasingly become inward focused. Like if you look at culture for the last 50, 60, 70 years, we have become more and more about ourselves, even just isolated a little bit. So kind of the analogy that I've always understood is like in the 50s, people sat on their porches, right? That sounds awful to me. I'll be honest with you. It's like, I don't like the heat. I like air conditioned. Like I think Mr. Carrier has a reserved spot in heaven. I don't even know what his relationship with Jesus was like, but I think he gets a pass just because he created air conditioning. Bad theology, my opinion, right? But so I love air conditioning. I love being inside, and I would prefer, instead of sitting in the sweltering heat in the summer and talking to people that I don't know that are passing by, like kind of this idea is we used to be more community-minded. We used to be more relationship-focused, and we just kind of like, well, we moved inside instead of being outside where we would interface and interact with people. And then you have kind of the rise or the advent of garages. So now not only do we not sit on our porches, but we pull directly into our garage. We close the garage door. We pull down the blinds. We turn on the TV. We crank down the air condition, and we don't see anybody ever again until we have to go to work the next day if you're not working remotely, right? And so what we've done is we've isolated ourselves. We've removed ourselves from relationships. And when you're distant from relationships, it's hard to be aware of the needs that people have. When you don't know what's going on in somebody's life because you don't know anybody, you understand the logic is very simple, right? If you don't know anybody, you don't know what the needs that they have are. And so kind of when I think Jesus is telling us to be sure that we subscribe to giving, it's also this reminder that we need to be subscribed to relationships. We need to be invested in people's lives. And I think this has only been exacerbated by, and again, I'm not trying to be Mr. Anti-Technology, but we've gotten so bad because we use things that were supposed to be supplemental as substitutes. For example, social media. All of that stuff was supposed to be a supplement to our relationships. It wasn't ever supposed to substitute for our relationships. Like if all the friends that you've got are your digital friends, you ain't got no friends at all. Like the way that I like to think about stuff like that is like, look at your, it's such a loose term, your friend lists, all your friends. And if you were in a real bind, you were in a real emergency, or you were in a real situation, how many of them are going to show up to help you out? And so the idea here, again, is just subscribe to giving, and we have to be subscribed to relationships and each other in order to subscribe to giving. That's the first in our bundles. Let me give you just a quick shameless plug and opportunity to do just that. This coming Saturday, April 1st, we're doing this thing called Love Longview. Did y'all look at that? Look at them. Y'all working in the back. I like that. So Love Longview Day from 8 to noon, we're actually going to go do just that. We're going to make and do, right? We're going to make and do. We're going to make some things happen for people who can't do those things for themselves, and we're going to do some things for them that they cannot do for themselves. So if you have, what are the pre-qualifications? Do you have breath in your lungs? Do you have hands that can put gloves on them? Then you can come help, right? If you, some people, I'm convinced every job site needs somebody that's going to go pick up some drinks. Right? Like we need people to go pick up some water. And if you show up with the red berry ghost is my new thing. Just throwing things out there. So anyway, there's a great opportunity for us to not only just say that we subscribe to something, but then actually subscribe to the thing that we say that we subscribe to. First one. Second one is this: pray. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, we're kind of just working down the passage here. It says this: and when you pray, again, when you pray, not if you pray, not if you feel led to pray, not if you're thinking about praying, not if you're reading books about praying, not if you're talking about praying, but actually when you pray. Y'all know what? We listen in church, like we're so bad. Like we'll work all the way around a subject without ever actually addressing the subject. So when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Would you like a modern translation of that? We don't need your long, eloquent, unnecessary, bloated prayer when it's dinner time. Just giving you that's my opinion. Listen, all right, let me finish and we'll come back to that. It says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So I think you can have your reward if you want to pray over your food in front of everybody. And I'm not bashing praying over your food. I think we should certainly give thanks to our Father in heaven for the food that we eat. Like God, good meat, good Lord, let's eat, right? All of it. Like I'm down for it. But if you're doing it to be showy or ostentatious or let everybody know what big words you know how to use or these eloquent prayers, like listen, There is a time for you to pray, and that ain't it. There's a time for you to pray and a time for me to eat, and they're interfering with one another at that particular junction. And I assure you that my need, and I'm just kidding. So I think for us, again, understanding, like, that's not what that's about. The time for us to pray is in private. We go do that. It's our personal devotion to God. I don't think this is a hard sell to talk about the importance of prayer kind of in church, but I think also we tend to be, as Christian people, forgetful, right? Guilty as charged, right? We are forget, like, that's why I think you find so many things repeated over and over in Scripture is because we tend to forget, or we also poorly prioritize spiritual disciplines, but that's a whole nother ballgame, right? So we won't spend much time on this other than to say, if you are praying, keep praying. If you aren't praying, pick it up, right? Start praying. This is something as followers of Jesus that we are supposed to subscribe to. And if you're ever feeling like, man, you just, because I know, especially when you're first kind of getting exposed to this and you're starting to understand this and you're trying to figure it out, I think I have a couple of thoughts maybe to help you kind of get going in the right direction. The first one would be just to look a few verses past this where Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. And he gives us this outline, kind of these guideposts for praying. And you know, it's our Father who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. The joke is that a kid misheard that and he thought God's name was Howard. Our Father who is in heaven, Howard is your name, right? Terrible joke, preacher jokes, they're the worst. So you kind of get this, Howard is your name, hallowed is thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, right? So you kind of get these chunks. So it starts with, hallowed is your name. God, you are worthy of my praise and my worship. And that's where we start. Just kind of, again, we're positioning ourselves. He is creator. We are created. And we are petitioning him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And then you kind of just move down through the list. Like, so give us this day, our daily bread. God knows that we have needs, but it's okay to let him know that we have needs. And we can make our requests known to him. We petition him and we let him know what's going on in our life. And again, you don't have to pray this verbatim, but it just kind of gives you some parameters within which to work. Close enough? Yeah, it's helpful. It's a great place to start. If you're ever stuck, start there. The second idea that I have that I stole from somebody else is if you're ever struggling to know how to pray for somebody, just pray scripture for people, right? If you don't have the words to say, then just go to God's word and look for things to say from God's word to pray for other people. My pastor, when Shelly and I first started, well, Shelly's been in church since she was born. I was a little later coming. So my pastor, when I first started going to church, talked about prayer a lot and did one of his best topics to teach on was prayer. And one of the things that he said was just pray scripture. If you don't know what to pray, pray scripture. So I learned early on, this is one of my favorite ones, Colossians chapter 1, I think it's 9 through 14 is the passage. And it's cool because it's Paul praying for the church in Colossus. Yeah, there we go. It's the book of Colossians, but the church is Colossus. It's a confusing thing, right? So this is what Paul's prayer was for them. He says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And here was the prayer. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk. Because, y'all know, this is where half of us stop, right? We're like, I just don't know what God's will is. Are you real? Okay. Do we want to get in? I'll get into it if you want to get into it. What is the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding that you may walk? Okay, we're going to get into it. So the knowledge of God's will for your life is just you to follow him and be obedient to him. And now what we're looking for is we're always looking for God's plan, which is the specifics. God's will is the generalities. Like, honestly, the plan is irrelevant if we don't have the will thing down. So that you would, is that helpful? Good. I hope not. I'm just kidding. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Y'all see these things that we can pray for each other? Strengthened with all might. I pray that God would strengthen you with all the might that you need to go through the season that you're going through according to his glorious power. And then another kind of subheader here is for all patience and long suffering with joy. I pray that God will give you the patience to endure whatever it is that you're going through in your life right now. And I think if you're a parent in this room and you're not praying that for other parents in this room, shame on you. Right? The idea here is like, man, I need, as a parent, all the prayers you guys want to send towards me for patience and long suffering. And not just patience and long suffering, but it says patience and long suffering with joy. Because I got a lot of patience, but it's not always with joy, and I need some help. So kind of my life, my season of life is we have a 3.5-week-old, and we have a daughter who is 21 today. Hey. She's like, please don't talk about me. I'm like, you just invited me to talk. You want me to bring you up here and sing you happy birthday in front of everybody? I'll do it. I will do it. I'm just kidding. So that's my season of life. I've got a 3.5-week-old and then a 21-year-old, literally, like 21 years difference. And then I've got two in the middle. The problem is I'm bookended. I've got angels on the bookends. And boys in the middle. And I need prayer for patience and long suffering with joy. And I suspect that you need prayer for patience and long suffering with joy. And then it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So the idea here is really simple. It's really straightforward. Like, we need to pray. Like, we are called to pray. It's a mainstay. It is a staple. It is a cornerstone of our faith. So let's subscribe to that. And again, here's some insight, some direction. If you're looking for more things to pray about, pray about my cough, pray about my throat. Seriously, no, I'm just kidding. So we've got, just in our church, we've got some really cool things coming up that we could pray for collectively. For example, next week we have the Palm Sunday party. So we started a few years ago instead of, because we're senile. We don't have the best decision-making processes. So we used to have a party on Easter, which was crazy because Easter is busy enough in and of itself, and then we would compound the madness by having a party on Easter. And then finally, a few years ago, we're like, oh, the voice of reason. So we started a Palm Sunday party, and we kind of lead into, we build up to Easter. So we've got the Palm Sunday party next weekend. So here's something you could pray for. You want to pray for your church, this Palm Sunday party, not just that we have a party, but we party with a purpose. So the party, the reason that we have any of these festivities or we do any of the things that we do is for people who would most likely not ever come to church would consider coming to church. Because, man, what I've noticed about Jesus is if you can start setting up dates with people, they might just fall in love. Right? And I think when you come to church, it's like setting up a date, right? And so if we can get them in the doors, if we can get them in the building, who knows? Who knows what God will do? And so we pray to that end. So when we party with a purpose. Listen, we have the taco trucks and we have Streetlicious and they think they came for the grilled cheese, but there's so much more going on than just that, right? That they thought they were coming for Mr. Churro, but they're coming for so much more than just that. They thought their kids were just coming to have a good time on the bounce houses and the obstacle courses and all of that stuff, but there's so much more than that. And so we pray for that. We pray that God would send people who wouldn't normally come to church and that through our efforts as a church, they might come to know Jesus. Pray for that. That's a great place to start praying. And then the following week, we have Easter. Like, what a terrific opportunity to pray for the church and people who don't know Jesus, because I saw this statistic a few years ago that said that four out of five people are more inclined to come to church on Easter if you invite them. Now, maybe not other days of the year, maybe not, you know, just on a random Sunday in June, but on Easter Sunday, 80% of people said they were very likely to come to church if someone invites them. So the way I take that is, or I see that is, pray for them and invite them. And then we've got baptism the following week, and then we've got Accelerate starting the week after that. We've got some really good things going on, but a good thing without prayer is just a good thing. A good thing with prayer can be a God thing, and that's a whole new ballgame, right? All right, good. You're warming up. It's taking a little while, but we're getting there, right? So subscription number one is to give. Subscription number two in our bundle is to pray. And the last one is this, fast. I know that we love talking about this kind of stuff in church. Unfortunately, this is of the bundle. This is the one that kind of gets overlooked. This is the one that we don't talk about, or we just selectively. It's like the third verse in Baptist hymnals. Did anybody grow up in a Baptist church? So y'all would read. I grew up like, man, I'm a mutt, like different like denominations and all sorts of stuff, and not church and then sort of church and just a little bit of everything. But when I went to the Baptist church, y'all would read verse one or sing verse one. Some of y'all would read it, wasn't very good singing. So y'all would read verse one, verse two, you would skip verse three, and then you would read verse four. That's kind of what we do with fasting. Like, yeah, when we give, when we pray, next. So this is what it says, Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. It says this, not if you feel led, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. They're the one, they're mopey and mourn, just, oh, I'm so hungry, right? Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. So again, you kind of take away this appearance of, you know, the suffering and poor, pitiful me. So when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know what I love about each of these subscriptions? That every single one of those passages finishes up with this statement, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Like, how cool is it that we're subscribing to things that are actually good for us, that there is blessing in obedience? And so let's talk about fasting for just a minute. I know this is not exactly a trending topic. This is not something that people just wake up and dream. It's not something you dream about. Not something you wake up and look forward to, but it is something that I believe it is a discipline that we should build into the rhythm of our lives. It is one of the most powerful things that you can do in your relationship with God. This is not probably the best theology, but it's also not heresy. I think fasting is a way to prove to God, to show to God that you mean business. That you're serious about what it is that you're praying about, that you're serious about what it is that you're asking about, you're serious about getting clarity or direction about what it is that you're going through, that you're serious about, name it, right? And so you fast. And more than that, not just the thing, but also that you're serious about Him. Fasting is so powerful because this is what it is. Now, what we've done is we've reduced fasting to a lot of different things that it's not actually. For example, we use the expression fasting when we say, well, I'm going to fast from my phone or social media. I'm like, that's not fasting. That's just turning off the greatest single distraction in your life. That's not fasting. Fasting is foregoing food, right? You're giving up food, which is necessary for life, right? So we need food to live, clearly. And I not just need it. I love food. Y'all don't understand. Like, it's a thing. It's a problem. So fasting for me is a real thing. Like, God is like, man, that boy's serious. When he gives up food, y'all watch out. Like, it's real for real. And so when we fast, we're giving up food. So food is one of obviously one of the most fundamental things that we need for sustainability. We have to have it to live. And so when we fast, what we're saying is, God, you are more important to me than life itself. God, you are more. I figured that got about the response that I thought fasting would get, right? Yay! So exciting. In a sense, fasting is a declaration to God that He is more important to us than life itself. Now, here's what's interesting. Again, you kind of look at that last statement in each of these paragraphs, or each of these passages, and it's your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. Did you know that there are actually health benefits to fasting? Right? Especially, it seems like the last few years, this has become more and more common knowledge, but the information has been there for a long time. So you find a lot of like trendiness around this idea of intermittent fasting, right? And so kind of fasting traditionally, when you read in, you know, Matthew chapter 6, fasting would be from sunup to sundown. And so, you know, during that period of time, you just wouldn't eat any food to fast, again, so that you can focus on your relationship with God. Not so that you can get attention from other people, not so that you can get people to tell you how awesome you are, but specifically so that your relationship with God can be improved. But it's so cool that there is blessing in obedience. Some of the things that you benefit when you fast, some of the benefits are it controls your blood sugar. There's like a re-regulation that happens with your blood sugar. It helps with inflammation as you get older. That's a thing. I told somebody this week, they were like, yeah, and they were, you know, a little younger than I was, but not much, right? Just like getting there. And they're like, yeah, I went to I got a personal trainer. I started working out, and now my knee pops all the time. And I was like, I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. It is arthritis. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And then they went to the chiropractor, and he was like, you know what that is? What your pastor said? Just kidding. So inflammation is a thing, but fasting actually helps with that. It helps with heart health. It helps with brain function. So it's just so cool. All of that to say, when we do what God asks us to do, there is actually benefit and blessing in it for us. But that's not why we do it. There's so much more to it than that. Fasting is a spiritual weapon. Fasting is a spiritual weapon, not to be yielded or wielded against other people, but against our own apathy and complacency. Because look, let me just be honest with you. Like the longer, I don't know how long you've been in church. I don't know, you know, how long you've been doing this church thing or this Jesus thing. But what tends to happen is like you kind of start like this. It's a roller coaster, right? The Texas Giant. And it's so good. Like those first few years or whatever months or whatever the season is for you, like you're growing and you're excited and you just anticipate all of the things that are coming into your life. And then inevitably, what starts to happen is you kind of get comfortable and you start to get complacent and then you start to get apathetic and then you start to go from a contributor to a consumer, which is like the condition. If you had a State of the Church address, that would be where we were at, right? Because it's like everybody is all about, well, you know, I don't go to that church because they don't play my kind of music, right? So I'm not even going to get into that. Don't get me started, right? Because it's weird to me. Never mind. Stop. I said I wasn't going to do it and then I started to do it, so I'm not going to do it. Or I might, I don't know. So it is a spiritual weapon that helps us to cut off the apathy and complacency that can and probably will creep into our lives. Man, if you're feeling stuck, if you feel like you're not making progress, if you feel like you're kind of in the same place with your relationship with God that you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe, just maybe, one of the things that you could consider subscribing to is fasting, because I think it changes things. I don't think you can manipulate God. I don't think you can control God or coerce God, but I do think that you can let God know that you're ready for whatever it is that he wants to do. Because sometimes we're just, you know, we kind of have this posture that God could try to work, but we're not prepared for the work that he's trying to do. But when we fast, we're posturing ourselves and saying, God, I am ready for whatever it is that you want to do in me and through me. So when we fast, again, it just proves to God how serious we are about him and whatever it is that he wants to do in our lives. So that's our bundle for the day. When you give, when you pray, and when you fast. We actually have a sign-up sheet on your way out for the giving part. If you want to sign up for the Love Longview Day, this is what happens a lot of times. Everybody's like, that's a good message. Did y'all hear that? You heard that, right? It wasn't for me, but I hope you heard that. Good message, Pastor. No, it's for you. It's for me that we should subscribe to giving and praying and fasting. Amen? Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much for the clarity around which, God, you've given us these instructions to live by, these beliefs that we should subscribe to, these practices that we should adhere to. God, these things that should be so important to us that they are a part of the rhythm of our lives, God, that not just if we give, but when we give. Not just if we pray, but when we pray. And not just if we fast, God, but when we fast. God, and when we subscribe to these things that you subscribe to, God, I believe that it does so much for us and the world around us. God, I think that it unlocks our ability to represent you well in the world around us, in the community around us. God, I pray that you would help us to do these things, God, not for our own attention, not to get credit for anything that we're doing. God, it pales in comparison to the sacrifices that you've made for us. God, it is the least that we could do to offer up to you, God, these services, these quote-unquote sacrifices, so that we can be more like you and represent you well and point other people to you. God, help us to do that. to be glorified, to be honored. Thank you so much, Jesus, for all that you do. It's in your incredible name we pray, and everybody say, amen.